That's good, ain't it? That'll make you back.
I'm going to shout even louder, amen.
Yeah, tell you what.
That's a blessing, boy. Yeah. Hear them young. Hear them young and sing, amen.
I like that. I don't know about you, but that just gets me going, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved, amen. I tell you, it's a real blessing to be here tonight. And I appreciate the opportunity to get to come and preach. I've been looking forward to it. The Lord is really blessed. I've heard you had a good meeting. And I tell you, I heard you had some good preaching. Amen. And I pray and thank the Lord for allowing me just to be a part of this. And just pray for me and ask the Lord to bless. And maybe we can help somebody tonight. Amen. Just a real blessing. Appreciate Brother Nelson. Appreciate the church. And appreciate you preachers being here tonight. All right. If you would, tonight, grab your Bible and turn to 1 Kings chapter 20 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 20. It's been a while since I've been in the Carolinas. I used to come down here quite often. Brother Jim Lentz was a dear, dear friend of mine. And I stayed down here a whole lot with him down in Valdez. And, of course, I've preached down here for Preacher Tuggle and some of these other fellas, and it's just been a real blessing to be back in these good old flatland. I don't care much about the flatland, but I love North Carolina. And I tell you, it's just a real blessing. Amen. I got on that to trace my family history back, and a lot of my family from down in these parts, most of them down around the coast there. But I guess that's why that the Lord just gave me a heart for the Carolinas. Amen. It's just a real blessing to be back. 1 Kings tonight, chapter 20. If you would tonight, let's stand while we read the Word of God in 1 Kings tonight, chapter 20. And we'll begin reading in verse number 22. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And this thing, the king away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto to their voice, and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but He is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew the Syrians and 100,000 footmen in 1 day. Now I'd like to bring a message tonight, the Lord being my helper, entitled, if I may, on the subject of He's Still God, Even in the Valleys. He's still God, even in the valleys. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this day of life that You've so graciously, God, allowed us to live. And Lord, I pray, God, tonight, that, Father, that You'd have Your way. Lord, I pray, God, there'd be somebody here, God, that don't know You. I pray, Father, this would be the night that they come to Thee. Dear Lord, I pray, Father, if there'd be one here that's fell out of love with You and fell in love with this world, I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'd help them, dear Lord, to see, God, that You still love them. And God, just to bring them back, dear God, to the fold. Help them to serve You and be in fellowship once again with Thee. Now, Lord, thank You for all things. Lord, I pray that You'd hide me behind the cross. And Lord, enable me to preach. And I pray, Father, in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, we promise to give You praise. We promise to give You honor and glory, for it's all Thine anyway to give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me begin by saying, by way of introduction tonight, that these were treacherous times for the people of Israel. Their wicked king Ahab had been very guilty of leading these people to worship the Canaanite god Baal instead of the Lord. And as a result of their wickedness, that the judgment of God, they were facing the judgment of God. But however, in the midst of all that sin, God still loves His people. Amen. I'm glad of that, aren't you? And I tell you, I think about that, and I think about our country tonight. And I'm telling you, my friend, if there was ever a time that we need God, it's tonight. Amen. If there was ever a time that we need God in our land, I believe it is today. I'm telling you, I believe with all of my heart that we are facing the judgment of God. Now, during this time, Israel was attacked. And they were attacked by the neighbor to the east, of this, which were the Syrians. And when this battle was waged, God allowed Ahab and the people of Israel to defeat the Syrians and to claim the victory. But as I've already said, I'm glad tonight that God still loves His children. You know, the Bible says over there in Jeremiah chapter 31, in verse number 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, have I loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." I mean, there's times, friend, when we get down, amen. I mean, there's times when we just feel like we're at the bottom. I mean, we just don't know what we're going to do, amen. But I'm glad tonight that I serve a God that still loves me, regardless of what shape that I'm in tonight. I just want to say that this Syrian army, I see a picture of our adversary and that old devil himself. When we are enabled by the Lord God to win a victory against him, you can count on the devil returning to the fight another day. And his desire is to see you defeated one way or the other. If he doesn't win in one area of your life, I'm telling you, he will change his tactics and he'll come at you in another way. I'm telling you, very cunning enemy, my friend. There's no way that you can defeat him by yourself. Only the Lord God Almighty that sits in heaven tonight is able to defeat the devil. But I want to say tonight that these Syrians, they've done three things. Number one, they had a dangerous assumption. A dangerous assumption. The Syrians make a dangerous assumption concerning the God of Israel. Since they were defeated in the battle, in the first battle on the hills surrounding Samaria there, they assume that the Israelites' God is only a God that can be upon the mountains. They're assuming that. Their strategy is to get the Israelites to fight in the valley where they think they will be easily defeated. For the Syrians, this would be a costly assumption for them, my friend, tonight. However, it is a gamble that the devil will take. He will take that gamble. You say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I mean that, there's going to be times in your life when you're up on the mountain, amen? And I'm telling you, you're shouting it out, and boy, you're running the aisles, and you're praising the Lamb of God, and there's nothing in the world like that. I mean, just to be able to say, praise the Lamb of God for saving my soul. But I'm going to tell you, friend, there's going to come a day when you get down in the valley, amen? And I'm telling you, it just feels like you don't have any friends. It feels like it, the wife don't love you anymore. It feels like the husband don't love you. It feels like the dog don't love you. It feels like your children don't love you. It feels like your church don't love you. I'm telling you, just feel like you don't even love yourself. I'm telling you, that's a good place for the devil to attack you. But I thank my God Almighty that He's still the God of the valleys. Amen. He's not the God only of the hills. He's the God of the valley, my friend. I'm telling you, when we get down in the valley, don't make the assumption, my friend, that the devil will only attack you in the valley. Then he'll do it. He'll get right down there with you. That's where he thinks he'll defeat you at. You know, that's where you're most vulnerable at. is down in that valley. Boy, I've been there, amen. I've been in a place in my life when I felt like I didn't have any friends. I've been there. I've been in a place in my life when I felt like that nobody cared anything about me. I remember one night sitting at home on a cold, cold winter night long, long ago. I remember sitting there at home and I felt like the presence of God had just left me. I felt like I was just down, despondent. I didn't have any way out. But I'm telling you, I just got down. I said, well, Lord, if you can, just help me just a little bit. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God come over and put His hand on me, and He touched me, and I'll tell you, friend, from that moment on, I realized that the God that I served up on that mountain was right down there with me in that valley. I thank God tonight, my friend, that He's still that God that you can serve down in that valley. Thank God tonight I serve a God that's up on the mountains. And bless God, when I get down in the valleys, He's right there with me. Boy, I tell you, that old devil wants us to believe. He wants us to think that we can be defeated down in the valley. And I'm telling you, my friend, you cannot be defeated nowhere you go. I'm telling you, when you're down there, listen, up in the holler where I live at. I live way back up in the holler. Some of you have been up there. Amen. And some of you say, well, you know, they'll say, I believe Brother Dalrymple has been up there a long time. You remember that, brother? We were talking about that tonight. And most of you preachers back here, some of you have been back there. Brother Don and Brother Ken and Brother Tuggle, y'all been up there. And Brother Nelson's been there. And boy, he's been in them. I'm telling you, I live way back in the holler. Way back in the holler. And I'm telling you, those two mountains, you look out on one side, you see a mountain. You look out on the other side, and you see a mountain. And boy, you know, four-wheeling's big back up where I live. And we get on that four-wheeler, and we go back up on top of that mountain. And you know, I like to go back up on top of that mountain. And you know what's back there on top of that mountain? It's real warm back on top of that mountain. And the sun don't go down real fast up there. I mean, it just stays there a long time. And I mean, boy, it just seems like everything's nice and just a nice warm breeze a-blowing. And boy, you know, then all of a sudden I think, boy, I'm going to have to go back down in the valley. And boy, I start going down in that valley, and the farther I get down in that valley, the cooler it gets. And boy, it just seems like everything starts getting dark. Amen. Are you there with me tonight? Have you been up on top of that mountain where the warm breeze blows? The Holy Ghost of God, it just seems like just a thrill in your soul every which way you go. And then all of a sudden you start down in that valley, and boy, it just starts getting cold. Amen. Down in that valley. And I'm telling you, my friends, it just seems like it's getting darker down in that valley. And boy, you don't know what to do. But I tell you what, I tell you, just thank God. Hey, He don't stay up on that valley, up on that mountain, amen. He comes down in that valley with you. I thank God tonight. I thank God tonight that I serve the same God that's up on top of the mountain with me. It's down in that valley. Boy, I tell you, there was a dangerous assumption there. And then I want to say there was a divine announcement. A divine announcement. I want you to look there in verse number 28. There came a man of God. Now I want to stop right there for just a minute. You know, I believe that's what's wrong with America today. There ain't no men of God that's really preaching the Word. Now I believe everybody in here, I'm not talking about you fellas tonight. The Lord knows my heart. But I'm telling you what, we have some of the most sickening fellas that call themselves preachers that you ever seen in your life in this nation. Amen. Listen, they don't. Somebody said something about taking Baptists off of the churches. Listen, sister, they just don't take Baptists off. They take church off. They don't have church anymore. It's a center. What in the name of God, the center? I remember when I was shooting pool in the pool hall, that's what I call going down to the center, amen. Bless God. Hey, Jesus Christ didn't die for a center. He died for a church that a sinner might be able to come in and get saved. I thank God tonight that it's still all about the church, amen. And we as preachers, we need to preach on it for just a little while and let the Lord God bless our heart. Amen. Amen. There was a divine announcement. He was sent by a man of God. You realize tonight that a man of God is what will bless your heart. You come to the church, church house, and you sit there and you listen to the man of God, and he'll tell you something from another world that will bless your heart. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I think about the time when the old man of God told me how to be saved. I never will forget that. I remember this an old boy, he was going to church there at this little church down the road, and he come up to my house, and he pulled in the driveway there, and he come up there, I was outside, and he come up there, and he said, Joe, I'd like to invite you to church. He said, I'd like to invite you to church. We're having a revival down the road here and down at the church. He said, I'd like to invite you down. I said, well, I said, just to be honest with you, I said, I'm not interested. I said, I got band practice all week. And I said, you know, I'll be playing music this weekend, and I'm not really interested. You know, that was about it. You know, he said, well, I really wish you could try to make time to come. Well, he left, and then I thought, well, that's about it. Amen. You know, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Well, about 10 minutes, here he rolled back in. He said, you know, God told me that you need to come to church. Amen. I said, well, you know, I said, I'll try my very best to get there. Well, you know what I did? I didn't really know that much about, church. I didn't know how to really dress that well, you know, and stuff. So, I got me some what I thought was pretty good church clothes on, you know. And boy, I remember I going in there at that church. And I remember that old preacher standing up there. I didn't know who he was or where it was from. But I remember him standing there. And just so happened, there wasn't nobody else, no room in there. But there was room right there where that girl was sitting at. And I had to sit there. And I remember him coming down about like me and pointing his finger right at me and telling me I was going to go to hell. Well, you know what I done? I left there that night lost. I left lost. Boy, I remember that Friday night I went to band practice. And I got over there to band practice, and I had my guitar with me, and I told Brother Don this, and I had my guitar with me, and I remember I walked in that place, and I just stood there, and all of a sudden, there was something like jerked my coat that I had on, just like that. Jerked it. Boy, I turned around, there wasn't nobody there. Boy, you talk about scared. I got scared. And you know what I done? I walked in there, and it was just something. And one of them fellas there that was with me playing music, he said, boy, you look like you've seen a ghost. I said, well, I felt like something touched me up there. And coming up that hallway, he said, that's just your imagination. You know what I done? I tell you what, I stood around there for a few minutes, and I paced the floor for a few minutes. Everybody else was talking. I walked over, brother, Hard Gray, and I got my guitar case. I raised that thing up, and I grabbed that guitar and put that guitar down in there and flipped them buttons and grabbed that thing and walked out. And that old boy named Timmy said, where are you going? I said, I got to get saved. He said, saved? I said, yeah, I got to get saved. I tell you, I didn't know how to pray, brother. I didn't know what to do. I remember getting in that old 1969 Chevrolet and bawling my eyes out on the way back home. I tell you, say, how'd that happen? I tell you, I had a divine announcement from God telling me I needed to be saved. And I believe tonight there may be somebody here tonight that God's sending a divine announcement to you tonight and telling you tonight you need to be saved. I'm telling you tonight, listen, friend, you don't have long. You don't have long in this world. We're living in a world today, friend, that's not going to last very much longer. I'm telling you, God's trying to tell you something tonight. There was only one problem with the Syrians' assumption. God was greater than they thought. Have we ever been there? I think about the Lord sometimes, what He does for me. And I think about, He knows everything. Amen. I mean, ain't nothing you can tell Him He don't know. Ain't nothing surprises Him. But you know what I like about Him, brother? I like it whenever I'm feeling down and feeling low. And you know what He'll do? He'll listen to me even though He knows what's going on. How many friends you got to do that? How many friends you got to sit and listen to your problems even if they know them? Amen. I'm telling you, I serve a God that'll listen to me even if He knows my problems. Any good? Divine announcement. I just want to remind you this evening that God's bigger than your valley. He's a lot bigger than that valley you're in. I know that it's easy to serve the Lord when we're up on top of the mountain. And boy, I tell you, there's times when we get up there, boy, and everything's good. Shouting's going on. And boy, it feels good. It's all warm. But I tell you, Preacher Tuggle, there's times we get down that valley. Amen, brother. I mean, there's times we get down there, son. Even at your age, I know you've seen a lot of things come and go. But I tell you, the devil, I tell you, you don't have to be old and don't have to be young for the devil to bother you. Amen. He just likes to bother you. Amen. He just likes to just to aggravate you. But I'm telling you tonight, through divine announcement, that the God up on that mountain is right there in that valley with you if you'll just let Him be. He's there. Amen. He's right there. I tell you, when you go through those valleys and you experience those valleys, boy, when you come back out of them, boy, you'll be something. You'll be something. Amen. And boy, I tell you, praise the Lamb of God tonight that we serve a God that will send us divine announcement. Send divine announcement. And you know, I'm going to say last of all tonight, there's not only divine announcement, but there's also a dynamic accomplishment. A dynamic accomplishment. The people of Israel believed God and enjoyed a tremendous victory. They saw their enemy put to flight by the power of God. Think about it. Just the Bible says that they just looked like Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. Just two little lambs. Just two little flocks of kids. And the Bible says that the Syrian army had a vast 100,000 footmen in one day. I mean, there was thousands of them. And Israel slew 100,000 of them in one day. You know, the people of Israel believed God. And that's what you need to do tonight. If there's ever a time that we need the Lord in our lives, friends, it's today. We need Him. I'm telling you this, our country, listen, our country, friends, is gone. Somebody said, well, what we need in our nation is revival. Well, we do need revival, but it's not going to happen. And other these fellows, you know, they'll say, well, we had a revival, you know, and we had 10,000 saved. You ever heard that? Isn't that amazing? You have 10,000 saved in one little town, and you still got the liquor joints up. Ain't nobody changing. I mean, I don't know, where's the revival at? I'm telling you, when God really works on, when God really sends revival, there'll be some changes in some things. I mean, you won't do the things you used to do. Amen. You won't have the same desires that you used to have. Amen. I mean, you'll see the drug and the crack houses closed down. Amen. You'll see the prostitute rings gone. Amen. You'll see the liquor store shut down. Amen. You'll see the church houses full on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Amen. When we have revival, hey, when we have revival in our church, in this church right here, Brother Osborne, yes, this place ought to be full for this revival. It ought to be full every night. And not only should it be full every night, it should be full every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I'm telling you, you need to be here. You need to be in the house of God. Hey, it don't make any difference. You say, well, I've got this and I've got that and I've got this. Listen, it don't make any difference. God needs to be number one in your life. If you put God first and everything else next, God will bless you. You want to know why you're having so many problems in your life? It's because you're not putting God first. If you put God first, everything else will work out. There he says, I can't understand why things are not working out for me in my marriage. I can understand why things are not working out for me down on the job. I can understand why things are not working out here and there and here. It's because you're not putting God first. You're putting yourself first. You're putting somebody else first. You put God first and everything else next, and God will work it all out for you. This is a place that God wants us to be. He wants us to come to that place where we realize tonight that He is God. Regardless of what we're facing, He wants us to get our eyes off of our needs and get them squarely on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to know that He is able. He is able to keep us. He is able to sustain us. He is able to feed us. I'm telling you, friend, I ain't worried about gas prices. I ain't worried about the economy. I ain't worried about all that stuff. Amen. I tell you, you just say, well, you know, I just get a little bit excited about it all because I believe the Lord's getting ready to come back. Amen. I tell you, I just get excited. You say, well, you're weird. Yeah, I'm a weird fella, I guess. But I just get excited about it because I know one day, and it's not going to be long, just like that, the Lord's coming back and He's going to take you out of here and you're going to be able to look Him square in the eye. That's what I'm looking forward to, aren't you? Dynamic accomplishment. I'm telling you. Listen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I'll close with this. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. I like that part. Or think. According to the power that worketh in us. Aren't you glad of that? Listen, the devil sometimes makes a dangerous assumption that he can defeat you down in that valley. He'll get you. That's where he'll get you. That's where he'll try to get you at. When you get down in there and you get where you're feeling low and feeling down and out, that's where he'll come. He'll get down in there with you. Mm-hmm. But just remember this announcement. The Lord's there. He's going to be there. And you will accomplish what you set out to do if you'll listen to that. And I want to say tonight, if there's someone here tonight that just don't know the Lord at all, maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You say, preacher, I ain't never been saved. Let me tell you something, friend. The best thing I ever done in my life 26 years ago is give my life to the Lord. That's the best thing I ever done. The only thing I regret is you probably heard it 1,000 times, you just didn't do it sooner. The best thing I ever done was give my life to the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. The best thing you ever done in your life is give your life to the Lord. We're getting ready to experience one of the greatest events ever known to mankind. The rapture of the church. He's coming. Are you ready? He's coming. Are you ready? I'm through preaching, brother.